please stand as we pledge allegiance to the flag? And please remain standing as the invocation will be given by Jim Applegate, Redeemer Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, there's great things going on in our county, and so we want to say thank you for that. I had the privilege of attending the clergy council for the first time with our sheriff, and I'm just thankful for all the relationships that are being built amongst people, and just the way that we're seeing Imago Dei, people made in your image, and celebrating that across our county. And we want to thank you for the economic increase in our county that makes this budget that we're going to talk about this morning possible. Thank you for providing. Thank you for allowing us to work through some of the most difficult times in our history and to come through. Your word says the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. So, Father, this morning we come before you and we ask that you would help us not to put our hope in budget or make the fatal mistake of putting our hope in resources and economics. As good as they are as provisions from you, help us to remember that you are the provider and you alone are our hope is found. So we pray for wisdom for our leaders this morning, for guidance for the staff, direct them. Let them know that they are loved by you so that they can make decisions knowing that you are for them even when everyone else seems against them. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. At this time, I'll turn it over to our CEO, Stan Risen.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to do an introduction this morning. We're pleased to have joining us this morning CHP Commander Captain Julian Irgoyen. So welcome, and we appreciate the partnership, a very valuable and important partnership we have between the sheriff, local law enforcement, and the CHP, and we value what you guys bring to the table, your partnership, and thank you for the way you attend our meetings and support us.
At this time, it is time for public comment. Anyone wishing to make a comment on any issue that's not on today's agenda, we'll have 5 minutes to speak. We have a request from Robert Bernard?
Bendor.
Excuse me.
Robert Bendor, it's a little hard one. Good morning, supervisors, Mr. Risen. Robert Bendor with the HERO program. I just wanted to stop by this morning and drop off some sheets to you. I had emailed them last week, but I know how difficult sometimes email can be with spam and everything like that. So that's basically a district specific report on the HERO program and kind of how everything is going, and the back of it kind of addresses some of our consumer protection things. Thought I would just stop by and just provide a little update. A lot of things are changing in pace over the recent months mostly. There was actually an Assembly Bill 2693 that's been now approved by the Assembly and the Senate. It's great because it's actually a consumer protection bill, making sure that all PACE providers are operating in a certain manner when it comes to protecting consumers. And a lot of actually the language that's in that bill has actually come from the HERO program and Renovate America, who facilitates that. So some of the points are on the back of that sheet. And if you have any questions, I think most of you have my information, but happy to answer them. And yeah, just want to let you know I'm always available.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good morning.
Anyone else have any comment? If not, we will go now on to the consent calendar. Anyone on the board wishing to pull anything? Or if none, I'll open it to the public. Before the board takes action on the consent calendar, does anyone have it in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? If not, I bring it back to the board. What is your wish?
Motion to approve all consent items.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. Thank you. We now will go to B14, Patricia Hill Thomas, Richard Egcom.
Okay, it'll be Tim Fedorchak.
Oh, okay, pardon me.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Tim Fedorchak. I'm with the Chief Executive Office, and I have the distinct pleasure and honor of being with you and being with our veterans this morning to present the fourth annual report to the Board of Supervisors from the Veterans Advisory Commission. You can tell I'm not great at multitasking here, so we're good with a PowerPoint. I have with me today are several of our commissioners, which will be introduced by our chairman of the Veterans Advisory Commission, Mr. Richard Egcom. And Richard will speak to you in just a moment, but he's asked me to proceed and kind of give you a brief summary of the fourth annual Veterans Advisory Commission report. And with that, the Board of Supervisors established the Veterans Advisory Commission in April of 2012 with the very distinct purpose of representing all veterans in Stanislaus County by advising the Board of Supervisors and county staff on matters generally pertaining to veterans, to hold informal public meetings, to provide the public with information, and to receive comments relative on veterans' issues. The Veterans Advisory Commission consists of seven commissioners, one appointed by each supervisorial in each supervisorial district, and two members at large. And Chairman Egcom will introduce each of the commissioners in a few minutes. The commission, when it was established in 2012, established four standing committees based on the important priorities that they established at their first strategic planning session, and those are education and job placement, facilities, outreach to other veterans, and transportation. So we're going to talk a little bit about where they stand with each of those committees. The Education and Job Placement Committee, which is chaired by Commissioner Wardy Bruce, has done some remarkable work. They've attended a number of educational job fairs, and I won't list each of these individually, but they've attended several job fairs as listed on the slide behind you. They've also gone to a number of Veterans Association meetings, and in particular have been involved also with the Veterans Employment Commission, with the Employment Development Department, all with the purpose of trying to connect veterans to jobs and to find and announce those jobs at the Veterans Advisory Commissions and to get the word out to veterans. So they've done some tremendous work in that regard. The Facilities Commission, Facilities Committee has been extremely busy as well and has achieved some remarkable things. I want to go back a little bit in history to kind of explain the progress. This was one of the chief goals of the commission when they put together their initial strategic plan. In 2012, and in the first fiscal year, in the first annual report to the board, the Facilities Committee went back to the veterans, various veterans group in Stanislaus County, and reestablished a needs assessment for a facility and established the by surveying each of the veterans and the veterans groups, went back and surveyed those needs and updated that needs program. In the second year, in 2013 and 14, an implementation strategy was developed, basically starting from ground zero at trying to establish a new facility. They developed a strategy, which was a four-part strategy to develop the needs, identify fundraising, establish a nonprofit entity to be able to collect and seek and collect donations, and to put together a strategy to fund a facility. In 2014 and 15, the Veterans Foundation of Stanislaus County was established, and they're established as an independent nonprofit entity, and they're certainly willing to accept any contributions that the community would like to be able to give to support a veterans facility, and they've been very active in that process. The other remarkable point that was achieved in the previous year, the third year, was the creation of a sustainable financial model. We put together, with the Veterans Commission's assistance and approval, we've put together a pro forma, which looked at the size and the ability to fund and the amount of funding that was anticipated and could be reasonably collected, and married that against what those projected needs were to develop a scope and to develop a plan that not only would be able to get a facility open, but would be able to operate it for a 10-year period of time. I'm pleased to say in the past year, the fourth part of that strategy that was developed in the second year has been achieved, and that was to issue a request for proposals for a new facility. The Veterans Advisory Commission in Stanislaus County received 7 proposals and did an extensive review of those 7 proposals that lasted over a period of 4.5 months, and also wrapped into that a negotiation process with a finalist. And with that, the Board of Supervisors earlier in this year approved a lease agreement and signed that with Sylvan Square at 3500 Coffee Road in Modesto. A number of steps have been conducted since then, including all the operating agreements, the user agreements, the funding partners, including the City of Modesto, the Veterans Foundation of Stanislaus County, and Stanislaus County. The most recent activities in that regard have been that the Veterans Advisory Commission has been working with Stanislaus County and the foundation to develop a design for construction of the facility for the tenant improvements for a leased facility. To initiate construction, I'm very happy to report that there are studs and drywall going in place for this facility, and it's anticipated completion by the end of 2016. And with that, I wanted to report on the other two committees, which are the Outreach Committee, and that's chaired by Commissioner Gayton. And Commissioner Gayton and the Outreach Committee have collaborated with several cities, including Oakdale, Patterson, Newman, and Modesto, to assist in the homeless veterans with homeless veterans to secure shelter and housing, to participate in the Focus on Prevention initiatives, to attend job fairs to connect veterans to benefits. And again, it's about making those connections that they've done such great work. Working with the Veterans Employment Committee to assist in finding employment opportunities for veterans. Also, one of the remarkable things that the commissioners have been able to do is on the Transportation Committee, and thanks to Commissioner Joe Madden and his partners on the Transportation Committee, and working with MOVE, which is the formerly the Consolidated Transportation Services, that they're able to work with disabled veterans who need assistance in getting to medical appointments that don't otherwise have a way to get between their homes, if they're homebound, and to their medical appointments. And so, in addition to other resources that are available to many veterans, there are some that are kind of left behind in that process. And this group has been able to assist a number of persons in transportation. In fact, in the past year, they've conducted over 100 trips, 113 trips, to take persons to appointments. And they take them not just to local Modesto appointments, but to Palo Alto and to the Bay Area, Menlo Park, Livermore, French Camp, all over the place. So that's really a service to those who most need that assistance. Unfortunately, they don't have enough resources to be able to get to everybody that requests that help. There were 71 veterans who were denied transportation because they just couldn't get to them. And part of that problem has been that they're relying on volunteer drivers to be able to provide that transportation. The The vans, there's a couple of vans that are operated, are owned by the Veterans Administration, the Federal Veterans Administration, and part of the problem is it's difficult to get certified through the federal VA for that transportation. And so you'll hear more about that later. That's part of the separate initiative to move those vans back under county's control. But that's been a goal, to be able to streamline that process a little bit and be able to help more veterans. So with that, I would like to, that's just a brief overview of the annual report. I did want to mention that there are print copies of the annual report available. I think we've got them out on the lobby, and also copies of this PowerPoint presentation. But with that, I'd like to introduce the chairman of the Veterans Advisory Commission, Mr. Richard Edgecombe, and I believe he has a few remarks.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Richard Edgecombe. I'm with the American Legion, and I'm the one of the members of our Stanislaus County Veterans Commission. My little report here is I'm just going to read it off, and it's real small, so if I miss something, I hope you guys pick it up. Okay. It's been another exciting and rewarding year for the Veterans Advisory Commission. My colleagues and of the Veterans Advisory Commission and I submit to you, Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors, the fourth annual Veterans Advisory Commission report for the fiscal year of 2015-2016. In this report, you will see the accomplishments and opportunities we've had with the veterans in the community. We continue to be honored to be able to serve and support those who have served the country. The past year, the commission again set forth the goals of continue to have commissioners meetings in each supervisor's district throughout the county. I'm very happy to say that the commissioners held meetings in District 1, which is Riverbank, District 2, which is Houston, District 3, which is Salida, District 4, which is Modesto, and District 5, which is Patterson. Have the commissioners meeting in the various districts has given the commissioners the opportunity to hear and some of the challenges veterans have in those communities. With the our leadership and support, this report includes information on the selections of one-stop Veterans Center facility that we have been working on toward the past several years. This has been going on for about 25 years. My commissioners, colleagues, and I are very thankful for the Veterans Center to become a reality. We also want to thank the City of Modesto, the Veterans Foundation in Stanislaus County, and their support for assisting us in the development of the Veterans Center. I want to thank the Board of Supervisors and the Veterans Service Organizations, my colleagues and the Commission County staff, the county at large, and the coordinator continued support for the provide for the Stanislaus County Veterans Advisory Commission. I hope to see all of you at the board of the Board of Supervisors and celebrate the veterans on a facility when we have an open day. I also would like to continue, that's the end of that report there, but I'd like to thank everybody in Stanislaus County, all of the people that live in Stanislaus County are our supporters for veterans, and they should be out there supporting all the veterans, no matter what's going on, because those veterans are our family, and our family is Stanislaus County, all of them. So if one another helps each of the organizations and help the veterans, that's what we need to do. I'd like to also thank Degree McGrath, which is County Council. She's my left-hand man, My right-hand man is Carolyn Hill. She does our secretarial work. Great people. I'd like to thank the Board of Supervisors and everybody in the board, Stanislaus County staff. And I'd like to thank the City of Modesto for their support. And anything that goes on to support these veterans, I'm willing to stand up with for. Thank you.
With that, I just wanted to make sure that we introduced our commissioners. And so you've met Chairman Richard Edgecombe. What? We also have Richard Gayton. Richard, could you stand? And we have Wardy Bruce from District 2. And Joe Madden. In addition to that, and I don't know if I see them in the audience.
Richard Barbosa.
Okay.
The two that
are
not here
Larry
right
Johnson
now.
And Larry Johnson is also a commissioner. So did
is
I cover all
William Johnson and Larry Johnson.
Great.
Those are the only two that are, they might not. And in the PowerPoint, when he went over that, these fellows are hard workers. They're out every day going to job fairs. They're going to businesses, communities, and working with veterans. If we weren't out there, our Veterans Service Office would not have half the amount of people going through it, because we find people that have no knowledge of what's available to them for veterans in this county. So we pick up people all the time, older fellows, young fellows, get them in the right directions, get them to the Veterans Service Office, get them to vet centers, get them to the clinics, so they get that knowledge. There's fellows that have passed away, there are veterans that have passed away, their wives have things coming to them through the government, and they don't realize that. So they're spending money that they should not be spending, that to be taken care of, when the government should be doing that. And that's, these are the things that we're working with. A lot of people. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, if you have any questions.
Any questions? Any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to take an opportunity to thank this Veterans Advisory Commission for all the hard work that they do. Without these veterans, we wouldn't have the services we do here in Stanislaus County. So outstanding job. That separate board item was just approved in consent calendar, which will make it more efficient to get volunteers to drive the vans. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Congressman Jeff Denham for, actually, he's the one who got us those vans. And his commitment to veterans in this county is outstanding. So I see Mike Anderson from Denham's office. If you could pass that along, that we really appreciate Congressman Jeff Denham and all the work that he does for our county.
Are you through? Anyone have any additional comments or questions? If not, I'll open it to the public. Anyone wishing to make comments at this time? If not, I'll bring it back to the board and ask for a motion.
Motion to accept this report.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. Thank you very much. We now will go to the 905 public hearing. And I'll turn it over to our CEO, Stan Risen.
All right. Well, good morning, Chairman Monteith and the board members. We're pleased to come and present to you today the 2016-17 final budget. And I'd like to start off by making just a few comments. Our budget presentation this morning is mostly a positive story. Our county finances remain strong, and we continue to focus on the restoration of critical public safety services, careful spending, and long-term sustainability. We take very seriously the stewardship of the public funds for which we've been entrusted, and we've used the recent improvement in our economy to retire debt early and rebuild our reserves. I want to take a moment before we get started to thank everyone that's been involved. And I'd like to start off just thanking you as a board for your leadership and the clear policy direction you provide to us. It makes putting this budget together much easier, knowing that We have a sense of your policy direction. Also like to thank our department heads and budget managers. They are really at the ground level, the ones making sure that we stay within our appropriations, that we appropriately estimate our revenue resources. And then to our budget team, you're just an amazing group. We actually moved this hearing up a couple weeks this year and really compressed them between proposed and final, and they delivered the same excellent work that they do year in and year out. So my thanks to the budget team and for giving up part of your summer to help us do this earlier hearing today. And then to my senior leadership team, you guys, I'd be lost without you. You're just an amazing group, and so thankful for your leadership and your clear thinking and strategic thinking as we put together this budget. I want to say we have a quote here. Do we have it in? I really liked, you know, we have plenty of naysayers in our community, and to be honest, I'm growing weary of them, because I think Stanislaus County is a pretty special place to live, and I'm beginning to feel something real special happening in our community. You look at some of our partner organizations and some of the leaders that have been put in those positions, I think our level of collaboration with our partners is at an all-time high, and you're starting to see an alignment of our intentions as a community to make Stanislaus County a better place. So I think that's what appealed to me to this quote, that we want to walk with the dreamers, the believers, the courageous, the cheerful, the planners, the doers, the successful people with their head in the clouds and their feet on the ground. We're committed to making Stanislaus County a better place, and it begins with a budget. You know, sometimes we get criticized for putting too much emphasis on our budget, and I understand that, and yet doing a solid budget plan lays the foundation for everything else we do and provides credibility to our organization. So it's important that we do that right so that we can do all the other good stuff in making Stanislaus County a better place to live, work, and play. And we are committed to striving to be the best. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jody Hayes, Assistant Executive Officer, and take us away, Jody.
Thank you very much, Stan. And I'm just going to take a moment to thank our CEO, Stan Risen, for the wonderful leadership that he provides throughout this this process. All things that Stan just mentioned in terms of the creativity and everything that goes into building a budget plan of this type is a tradition in the Chief Executive Office, and that tradition has been well placed in the hands of Mr. Risen, and he's done a wonderful job leading, providing guidance to our team. And we personally are very, very thankful for his support as well. We appreciate the opportunity to come before you. So thank you, Stan, and good morning, Chairman Monteith, members of the board, and Council Doering. My name is Jody Hayes from the Chief Executive Office, and it's my pleasure to present the 2016-17 final budget with my colleagues from the Chief Executive Office, Patricia Hill-Thomas, Patrice Dietrich, and Tara Chumley. We appreciate the opportunity to come before you this morning and share with you the updates that have occurred since your approval of this year's proposed budget back in June. The 2016-17 final budget spending plan recommended to you this morning totals $1.13 billion. This is the largest budget we have brought to you to date, and it represents a solid financial plan for county operations for the year ahead, as well as a foundation for future budgets to build from. But beyond the 773 pages of numbers, schedules, charts, and narrative, the budget is, at its core, our plan for providing service to the community. We built this budget and will implement this plan and monitor performance throughout the upcoming year focused on several key deliverables. Aligning the Board of Supervisors' priorities and focus on prevention performance outcomes, maintaining current county programs and service levels, expanding public safety services and public safety facility support, enhancing services to veterans and seniors, recognizing the quality of life benefits provided by our county park system, and continuously addressing future service sustainability through prudent reserves. Fiscal year 2015-16 resulted in another year of positive financial results for the overall county budget. Upon closing the books for the prior fiscal year, we made a number of strategic assignments with our general fund balance to support future budget planning and long-term needs in the organization. They include adjusting our reserves to support the board's policy for general fund balance, additional pay down of debt and reserves for business exposures, technology upgrades, capital improvements, and deferred maintenance, savings for the demolition of aged buildings, something that we have not done in the past, but we know is on our horizon and will need to be accomplished, and a strategic set aside of $5 million in one-time accrued fund balance at year-end 2015-16 from the elimination of negative bailout to be used for future community investments. The Chief Executive Office will work with county leadership to develop a process for the future consideration of these funds with the specific intent of supporting community partnerships that will deliver a direct impact to improving quality of life here in Stanislaus County. With this budget, you are now beginning to see some of the positive strategies materializing from the elimination of negative bailout. As you have heard many times from us before, the county budget process always begins and ends with a focus on the future, which serves as our budget theme for fiscal year 2016-17. While we are still at the beginning of this new fiscal cycle, we have already begun the planning process for a new era of financial planning, with the planned implementation of a new two-year budget strategy to begin in fiscal year 2017-18. Much of this work on our future budget is well underway, while the current year budget will serve as a bridge period to assist in this transition. You may notice some slight differences in our approach to budget reports during our bridging period this year, and we look forward to sharing more detailed plan with you on multi-year budgeting during our first quarter financial report, which will come before you in November 2016. We have many exciting things ahead, and we appreciate the leadership of this board in encouraging the organization to push long-range financial planning further into the culture of this organization. We did have one other quote that was a little late to make it to the PowerPoint, but thought it was at least necessary on a day like today, and also I think very much supports the words that were shared by CEO Risen. And they're from a very inspirational individual many of us have known throughout our lives, a gentleman named Willy Wonka. And Willy Wonka once said, "If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to, do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it." So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Deputy Executive Officer Patrice Dietrich, who's going to walk us through some of our financial schedules and some of the summary of the financial impacts of our final budget.
Good morning. I'm feeling very inspired after that quote. To begin this morning, consistent with past practice, the 16-17 recommended final budget as presented to you today is organized within the 7 Board of Supervisors priorities displayed on the screen. The recommended final budget represents an increase of $14.2 million over the 16-17 adopted proposed budget. This includes $5.9 million in department requested budget adjustments to recognize the planned implementation of the new adult detention expansion facilities and reflecting safety improvements for the benefit of employees and the public we serve, along with equipment and new technologies to support business efficiencies and technical adjustments to recognize current department operations. There are $6 million in adjustments to support projects and actions previously approved by your board, including $4.1 million for departments that achieve savings in appropriations as part of the Net County Cost Carryover Savings Program, $1.1 million allocation to establish the new Stanislaus Veterans Center budget, and approximately $769,000 for technology innovation projects approved in the prior year that were not sufficiently developed to be part of the funds available roll forward process and are now rebudgeted. And finally, $2.3 million to support new strategies and initiatives, including $1 million for the early implementation of public safety restoration as part of the one-time benefit from negative bailout savings, and Jody will be discussing that further in our presentation. $876,000 to replenish appropriations for contingencies as part of the one-time benefit from negative bailout savings and dedicated to fund leveraging of federal state grants for public works road improvements repairs as approved by your board in the adopted proposed budget. And $478,000 to support conversion of 16 formerly part-time positions to full-time benefited status to support services and recognize the work of Parks employees. Tara will be discussing that more later in the presentation. Inclusive of the $14.2 million in adjustments just highlighted, The recommended 2016-2017 final budget totals to approximately $1.13 billion. Almost half of the total budget is dedicated to the priority of a healthy community, departments and services that are for the most part mandated by federal and state regulation and predominantly funded with special dedicated revenues. This chart provides a historical view of the overall budgeted appropriations for the past 5 years since fiscal year 2011-2012, along with the projection for 2016-2017. As you can see, the recommended appropriations have gradually increased from the low of 11-12, primarily as a result of growth in health and human service programs and services, public safety realignment, AB 109, and the debt acceleration strategy that peaked in 2014-2015. The county continues to show slow and steady growth, averaging approximately 5% per year. The recommended 2016-2017 final budget for the general fund totals to approximately $298.2 million. We'll focus on the general fund in many of our slides this morning, as this is the budget unit which supports essential government functions and provides match to internal service and special revenue departments as directed by the board or mandated by federal and state regulations. More than half, or 57.3% of the general fund budget, is dedicated to the priority of a safe community at approximately $171 million. This chart reflects a historical view of the budget appropriations in the general fund over the past 5 years, along with a projection for 2016-2017. Here you also see that the general fund is tracking on average approximately 5% growth annually in line with the overall county budget. This is a very busy chart. It is our general fund. It shows our general fund budget and how it is balanced. It can also be seen on page 20 of the agenda report. The first column shows the adopted proposed budget. The middle column depicts the changes recommended in final budget. And the third column shows the recommended 2016-2017 final budget before you this morning. It includes $298.2 million in appropriations for the general fund, which is an increase of $10.3 million from the 2016-2017 adopted proposed budget. The components of this increase will be described in the remainder of the presentation. The general fund budget is supported with $91.8 million in department revenues, resulting in a net county cost forecast at $206.4 million. We're able to balance this net county cost first by discretionary revenues, which are forecast at $193.9 million, augmented by $4.1 million in net county cost carryover savings from the prior year, and almost $1 million available in assigned fund balance designated for the county support of the Veterans Center. Fund balance of $7.4 million completes the sources of funding needed to fully balance the general fund budget. This chart displays actual general fund discretionary revenue over the past 12 years through fiscal year 2015-2016, along with the projected discretionary revenue recommended for final budget 2016-2017. Discretionary revenue is the revenue over which your board has the discretion to use as you determine. It is not tied directly to a specific program or department. One-time revenues are presented in this chart in several fiscal years, which can distort the overall picture, so we've added the moving average trend line to the display for ease of understanding. I joked last presentation that it looks like a roller coaster, and so you sort of feel the next little peak, and you know, in our long-range modeling, we're watching out there for that next little dip that we know will come someday. As you can see on this slide, it has taken 8 fiscal years for discretionary revenue to recover past the high of the pre-recession years. During this time, fiscal year 11, 12, and 13, 14 are the only 2 fiscal years that reflect regular ongoing revenue. We benefited from significant one-time revenue sources in 12, 13, 14, 15, and 15, 16. 15, 16 is actually the first year that our revenue exceeded the pre-recession peak of $181.6 million back in 2007-2008. Because that bar is really high, it has a little green box at the top. I want to talk about it a little bit. The discretionary revenue that actually was received in 2015-2016 totals to $197.8 million, exceeding the prior year actual revenue by about $14.2 million. Contributing to that significant increase in revenue is the $6.7 million benefit of the elimination of negative bailout that we had not anticipated when we built the adopted final budget for 2015-2016. That is an ongoing revenue stream that is included in our projections for 16-17 and going forward in our long-range modeling. The negative bailout calculation is a component of the property tax calculation process, and now that it has occurred, it's embedded within that discretionary revenue. It isn't broken out anymore in the future. $5.5 million of one-time revenue is depicted in the green box at the top of the 2015-2016 column. That one-time revenue comes $1 million from the sale of the Medical Arts Building, which is dedicated in this budget to the support of the Veterans Facility. A $1.8 million technical accounting adjustment to record the payoff of tobacco debt on the coroner facility, and about $2.7 million from post-2004 SB 90 mandate claims and related interest that are not traditionally budgeted due to the uncertainty of the payment from the state. The remainder of the increase, about $2 million, represents the growth rates in property taxes and sales taxes. If we exclude that one-time revenue identified in that green box, discretionary revenue would be $192.3 million in 15-16, and which leads us to the 16-17 recommended final budget projection, which we forecast at $194 million, approximately $2 million above the 15-16 actuals if you exclude that one-time revenue. It's about $3.9 million above the adopted proposed budget, and that increase is due to an adjustment for the actual assessment roll growth, which is 5.3% versus the 4% that we estimated in the proposed budget. The increase to projected property tax revenue is $2.4 million. About $650,000 of that is due to the increase in the assessment roll. Property taxes are the largest revenue stream in our discretionary revenue, and in final budget are estimated at $57.3 million. The remainder of this increase for 16-17 final budget is $1.5 million in sales and use tax, bringing our total projection to $23.8 million. It's a 1% increase over the prior year. And again, we'll note that one-time revenues are not projected for future budget years. The Net County Cost Savings Program continues to play a role in how we balance the funding needs of some general fund departments, who are noted in this chart as phase one. Phase one departments achieve savings in appropriations and are able to carry forward 100% of their unused net county cost savings from prior fiscal years, along with 75% of their 15-16 net county cost savings. Of note, we also have the phase two strategic savings program. We have one department depicted on this slide in phase two. This is a department that has demonstrated improved business efficiencies and increased department revenue. And this department is Parks and Recreation. They've met our qualifying criteria due to the result of increased visitation from their marketing efforts and the new Parks Online reservation system. And so we've included $50,000 of strategic cost savings earned in 15-16 to benefit the department in 16-17. The Parks Department does plan to use these funds to continue their marketing efforts for regional parks. In fiscal year 15-16, departments carried over $5.3 million of savings, and $4.1 million is now recommended to carry to fiscal year 16-17. The last financial schedule I'm going to highlight this morning is the county's long-range financial model. It's also hard to see on the screen. It can be found on page 78 in the budget binder and also on page 22 of your agenda. We put it everywhere because it is our plan for the future. As previously mentioned, the annual budget analysis begins and ends with our attention to the multi-year long-range model. It provides guidance for all of our financial decisions. The long-range model is displayed here through budget year 2019-2020. It includes the following assumptions. Discretionary revenues are forecast to grow approximately 2.4% in 2017-2018 forward, and the total funding there is the top row. Our annual base general fund costs are projected to grow approximately 3% from 2017-2018 forward. Beginning also in 2017-2018, by the end of the year, our general fund debt service will be materially paid off, benefiting the organization going into the future as we anticipate the potential for the economic downturns that will occur in our future. And you'll see that there's a red bracket there in the third row, which shows that in our modeling, even after we set aside a small portion of general fund balance each year, there will be a negative amount, a deficit, if you will, in the budget that we will need to address. We show a next row there identified as budget reductions, revenues, or additional use of one-time funding. That line, that row, that is the depiction of the types of one-time strategies that we build into our strategic financial plan and build our general fund reserves. Our general fund reserves are depicted on page 60 of the budget, and we will continue to do that long-range modeling, working our way towards resolving those deficits in the future.
Yeah, I'd like to make one comment here. I think it's important as you look at this slide to recognize that we historically have relied on anywhere from 6 to 8 million of one-time funding to fund the budget. And so really as you look at 17, 18, that's well within the range. But as we get to 18, 19, 19, 20, part of the reason we've been rebuilding our reserves is recognizing that, we will have some significant cost increases as we open up the new jail beds being built out at the public safety center and otherwise. So strategically, when you see us rebuilding its reserves, it's because we see these on the horizon and want to make sure that we're prepared to address them, and we're confident we can.
Thank you. Thank you, Stan. The accountant in me hates those negative brackets on those numbers, so I feel much more comfort as we're working through the long-range modeling and looking to those helpful reserves if we can identify them into the future. That's the last of the information I have about the long-range model, and with that I'll be turning it over to Jody, who will take us through the first few board priority areas.
Thank you very much, Patrice. Departments within a safe community are focused on public safety and related support systems. These departments rely on strong partnerships within the county organization as well as with external community-based organizations throughout the region to maintain vital public safety programs with a common goal to protect the safety of our residents. Departments in a safe community total to approximately $214 million in appropriations, an increase of $7.7 million, or about 3.7% since our proposed budget in June. The Sheriff's Department is the largest of the safe community budgets, forecast at $105 million, or about 49% of this priority area. As part of the 2014-15 mid-year financial report, the Board of Supervisors approved public safety restoration to fund critical public safety services in four departments: the District Attorney, Public Defender, Probation, and Sheriff. The Board has approved public safety restoration funding in Phase 1 of up to $2 million for fiscal year 14-15 and $4 million in fiscal year 15-16. With the adopted proposed budget for fiscal year 16-17, you have already approved an additional $2 million in PSR funding for a total of $6 million to support 63 full-time positions through Phase 2. Our public safety restoration Phase 3 was planned for up to $8 million effective in budget year 2017-18. However, the benefit of elimination of negative bailout, which will no longer reduce property tax revenues for Stanislaus County, has provided an ongoing positive contribution to discretionary revenue such that sufficient confidence exists for sustainability of the PSR program all the way through Phase 3 to begin now in this current year. The recommended final budget for 2016-17 proposes to accelerate Phase 3 to begin 6 months ahead of schedule, effective January 1st, 2017. An estimated $1 million is included within appropriations for contingencies to support approximately 12 additional PSR positions. Those public safety departments are currently working to evaluate their current public safety priorities and identify the specific positions that will bring the most benefit to the community. Those specific position requests will be brought back to the Board of Supervisors at first quarter financial report in November. And upon approval, the $1 million in current funding will be transferred from appropriations of contingencies to department contingencies accounts so that those departments can go ahead and start filling those positions. Our public safety departments have dedicated significant efforts to filling vacant positions in a very competitive labor market in order to restore services to the public. Of the 39 original positions for Phase 1, 32 of those full-time positions are currently filled. For Phase 2, 24 additional positions were added for a total of 63 positions, and the ongoing benefit of Phase 3 is $2 million, which we're looking at adding potentially up to 12 additional positions. Upon conclusion of Phase 3, 75 total positions will have been added back to restore public safety services in the community as a result of this multi-year strategic investment in public safety restoration. I now want to go through some of the specific requests for some of our departments in a safe community. We have several budget recommendations included in the final budget to support grant programs operated through the district attorney's office. The DA has historically relied on a variety of grant programs provided through federal and state resources. Over the last several years, many of these funding opportunities have been modified to become more competitive and to limit the duration and security of grant funding. These changes have required us to modify our own approach for how we staff these grant-funded programs and the process by which we develop spending plans to deliver the highest level of service in the community. In total, DA grant programs and final budget are leveraging approximately $8,000 in additional net county cost to support three positions that will improve a variety of victim service programs throughout our community. As part of the review of the probation's Blue Gum facility, potential safety concerns were related to building accessibility that led to a recommendation for implementation of a proximity card system and the replacement of four exterior doors at that facility to improve security. Those were approved by this board in the 2015-16 third quarter financial report in the amount of $167,000. The department identified year-end savings in 15-16 that was to be used for this project. However, we were unable to get an RFP completed in time, and therefore those funds fell to fund balance, and we're now rebudgeting them in the current year to support that project that was already approved. In May of 2016, the Board of Supervisors approved the 2016 Community Corrections Partnership Plan for the 2011 Public Safety Realignment for fiscal year 16-17. In the 16-17 proposed budget, the department had used the 15-16 budgeted estimated revenue and appropriations until the Board of Supervisors approved the plan. So the CCP plan came after the proposed budget was approved, and the recommendations before you today are to modify the final budget to come in line with that program that was already approved by the board. For the Sheriff's Department, in May of 2016, the Board of Supervisors approved the phased opening and staffing plan for the AB 900 Phase 2 Public Safety Center expansion projects. As part of the 16-17 final budget, a separate budget is now being established to account for the new expansion facilities, which include staffing and the operational budget. In the May 2016 agenda item, costs of $5.2 million were identified as first-year estimated expenses, and included in this amount was approximately $870,000 for contracted jail medical costs. This amount is merely an estimate, and the actual cost will not be available until we've completed negotiations with our provider for jail medical services. A separate agenda item will be presented to the board with approval for those services once those negotiations are complete. It is recommended to establish appropriations of about $4.4 million, an estimated revenue of $1.3 million, and a general fund contribution of just under $3.1 million in the sheriff's detention expansion budget. We had one other recommendation before you related to the Sheriff's Department, and that is the replacement of a very old and broken clothes dryer in the laundry facilities in support of existing and future jail operations. That dryer is $95,000, and if you'd like to see what a $95,000 dryer looks like, it's very, very large, and it can do a whole lot of stuff all at once. On to those departments for efficient delivery of public services. These departments within the board priority area provide a multitude of services to a diverse customer base, both internal and external to the organization. Departments focus on continuous improvement of government business operations prompted by and supported through customer feedback. Electronic services and more efficient processes allow for the sustained provision of valuable services to the community and help foster positive customer relationships. Appropriations for the departments within the efficient delivery of public services priority area total $207 million. This represents a 1.4% increase over the appropriations of $204 million provided in the 16-17 adopted proposed budget in June. For the Board of Supervisors, an increase in appropriations of just over $19,000 is recommended to fully fund all four of your field representative positions based on the determination that all four positions are necessary to adequately support the demands placed on board members. After review of the Board of Supervisors' support staffing, it is recommended that the four allocated confidential three field representative positions be reclassified to block budgeted confidential two through four positions to more appropriately align the duties in support of the board members and to meet current workload demands. Three of the supervisors will each be supported by a field representative working 30 hours per week, and two supervisors will be supported by one field representative working 40 hours per week. In CEO appropriations for contingencies, an increase in appropriations of $769,000 will provide for transfers to departments awarded Phase 1 technology innovation funding when departments are already proceed with those approved projects. The departments receiving these transfers in 16-17 include Animal Services, the District Attorney's Office, Probation, Clerk Recorder, the CEO, and Strategic Business Technology. The Chief Executive Officer has already been authorized by the Board of Supervisors to approve these transfers as needed. We also have an increase of $876,000 in appropriations for contingencies, and this is to restore appropriations to the previous level that existed prior to the contribution made from the public work made to Public Works during the proposed budget. This is funded also through our savings in one-time negative bailout savings from fiscal year 15-16. We also have an increase of $1 million in recommended funding for appropriations contingencies, as I mentioned previously, to support Phase 3, or the acceleration of Phase 3 of public safety restoration. Our other CEO budget that contributes to other programs has an increase of $1.1 million, of which $1 million of this is in the medical arts building proceeds, along with the general fund contribution of $100,000 annually, ongoing support that would be used to fund the new Stanislaus Veterans Center budget that you heard about earlier today, and that was a wonderful moment with approval of that agenda item. Additionally, we have just that $8,000 that we mentioned previously for the District Attorney's Office to leverage grant-funded program opportunities. Given the complexity of issues, risk exposures, size of the organization, and multiple challenges associated with this work in county government, it is recommended that a new human resources director classification be added. Additionally, it is recommended to reclassify upward one existing deputy executive officer position to the new human resources director position in the chief executive office. The new position aligns the level of management oversight consistent with current organization needs and will also provide flexibility for a potential HR reorganization currently under consideration in the chief executive office. In accordance with the County of Stanislaus General Services Agency Fleet Services Policy, departments have submitted requests for vehicles to the GSA Fleet Manager for consideration and approval. The county has a total fleet of 941 vehicles at the time of proposed budget. Of these, 380 or 40% meet the requirements to be considered for replacement, which includes an analysis of the minimum age of vehicles and mileage. With adoption of the proposed budget, the board approved replacing 78 existing vehicles and 18 new vehicles. We are recommending an additional 13 vehicles to support four departments included in our final budget recommendations. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn the presentation over to our senior management consultant, Tara Chumley, who will walk you through the next three board priority areas.
Good morning. Departments within a strong local economy promote, protect, and sustain agricultural economies and support the development of a competitive and diverse workforce while providing for broader, more diversified economic opportunities. Appropriations for departments within this priority area total approximately $31.3 million. The Stanislaus Business Alliance is requesting a $175,000 grant from the Economic Development Bank to help develop a new manufacturing training center. The center will teach basic manufacturing skills and soft skills to local workers over the course of 12 to 15 weeks. This will help them qualify for local hard-to-fill jobs. Departments within a strong agriculture economy heritage support the vital role of agriculture in the community. Agriculture is the county's number one industry, generating $4.4 billion annually. Appropriations for the departments within this priority area total approximately $6.4 million. The University of California approved a new vegetable crop advisor position to serve the needs of the community. The current partnership between the county and the UC provides for local support of UC advisor positions. To support the work of this new position, an increase of appropriations of $24,000 is needed to purchase a new vehicle, which is funded by net county cost. Departments within a well-planned infrastructure system provide services essential to the quality of life for the residents of Stanislaus County and to the maintenance and expansion of a robust economy. appropriations for the departments within this priority area total approximately $116.7 million. Illegal dumping in the unincorporated area continues to be a problem in Stanislaus County. Trash complaints received are addressed by Environmental Resources Fink Road landfill staff in coordination with the Sheriff's Department and Public Works when heavy equipment is needed to assist with the cleanup of large illegal dumping sites. To address the large, high-profile illegal dumping concerns, it is recommended to increase appropriations in the amount of $50,000 to be paid for by Fink Road landfill retained earnings. Costs associated with cleaning up these large illegal dumping sites will be charged to the landfill budget. Historically, the Parks and Recreation Department has used year-round extra help park aid and account clerk employees to perform routine duties at the parks. As part of the proposed budget, the department had requested to add full-time positions to transition extra help employees that work 30 hours or more each week. With the implementation of health care reform and the requirement to provide health insurance for employees working over 30 hours a week, the department is requesting to add 14 full-time park aid and two account clerk two positions. The total cost to add these positions is approximately $478,000 and is funded by net county cost. In June, your board approved the Planning and Community Development Department to apply for and receive a California Department of Housing and Community Development grant. The department has received confirmation from HCD that it has been selected as the administrative entity and recipient of funds related to the State of California Emergency Solutions Grant, a technical adjustment in the amount of approximately $580,000 is recommended to budget the appropriations and revenue in this fiscal year. And now I'll turn it over to Patricia.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doering, Mr. Risen, and to our audience and to our community. It's really a pleasure for me to be part of such a good news budget report, solid and confident going forward. I'm going to talk to you very briefly about our healthy community priority area. As you well know, the programs are listed on your screen, and this is indeed the smallest change I think I've ever seen in my long career here with Stanislaus County to the largest part of the county budget, a net increase of $792,000. As you see on this chart, the appropriations exceed $558 million for our healthy community programs. Again, the largest part of the county government's budget, the largest number of employees and programs that are mostly mandated by state and federal laws and requirements. I want to point out that this is the second year of good news in terms of reduction of general fund discretionary revenue needed to support these mandated programs, allowing more of that discretion to go to your board for other local requirements and priorities. In the Area Agency on Aging, I could be the most excited person to talk about the Veterans Center, but there are no budget changes, only the idea that we will be planning to move in the coming year, and you've heard a lot about that this morning. The biggest area of change is about the mandate of what's called CCR, or Continuum of Care Reform, which the county and every county in the state of California is required to implement by January 1, 2017, with the goal of further improving permanency outcomes for youth. All foster youth must be transitioned from group home settings by January 1 of 2017, which is just a few short months from now. We had identified this upcoming challenge in the proposed budget and spoke to you then and told you that we would bring recommendations in the final budget. It is our recommendation to add 23 new positions, which are fully funded for this mandated program, to the Community Services Agency. The Veterans Center, again, has been spoken about this morning, so I'll be brief. There are appropriations of $792,439 for the lease cost for year one, which will be funded by county, state, and donor dollars and a county match. We look forward to the completion of that center by the end of the current year. And that summarizes all of the changes in that large part of county government called the Healthy Priority. I'm going to talk to you about staffing and then take the recommendations to the end, and then we'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. There is a change of 43 positions in this final budget. Those 43 positions are have been identified both in this presentation this morning and are listed in detail in the budget document. The line graph before you depicts the change over time. And while it shows a net decrease of still 288 positions from our low point, I think it's significant to point out that there have been many changes, new programs, public safety realignment, the mandates I spoke about earlier in community reform, other programs. And so I think it's fair to say that the organization continues to streamline, do more with less, and that there's still 288 positions or 6.3% staffing totals lower than our lowest point during what is called by many the Great Recession. We, as our team talked to you about, we always look back and we always look forward. We do significant long-range modeling and planning, and we look forward to the challenges that we think may be very imminent in the coming fiscal year. Water is obviously a priority of your board and a need in our community. During the next budget year, our staff will continue to work closely with all the water partners, joining your board in doing so toward the implementation of the Groundwater Management Act requirements, the formation of the groundwater sustainability agencies by June of 2017, and the development of the comprehensive groundwater sustainability plans, two of which are due by January 2020, a very top priority. You have heard a lot of numbers this morning. I might tell you that the most important number to me personally as your project manager is that the Stanislaus County Public Safety Center projects are 97% complete. They will be completed on time and significantly under budget. We will occupy them by March 31, 2017 in a phased approach already approved by your board and modeled for many years in the past and forward to be able to absorb the increase in detention and to modernize our facilities to be safe for our community, our staff, and those that are there. So we're very significantly focused on its successful completion. Tremendous effort underway by the Sheriff's Department to recruit staff in order to meet those contractual obligations that your board has agreed to. Yesterday was day one of construction for our REACT Center. You'll recall that we won on appeal $40 million to complete our Public Safety Center Master Plan. Our REACT Center is, I think, the most hopeful part of our public safety expansion. It's a 288-bed transitional housing facility that is program-based in order to assist individuals who are in trouble with the law to change their lives. We started yesterday. The team worked into the night because they had to turn off the water, and it's all good. So we're very pleased to move forward confidently with the construction of REACT. I will tell you, we have done so much, and I thank your board for your leadership, but we have much to do. We have significant business and facility master planning that needs to be done in our healthy community area, particularly our health services agency, as we look forward in our behavioral health and recovery services. You've authorized us to begin the work, and we have currently seeking individuals to assist us in a long-range master plan for our health services agency, and we'll be doing the same for behavioral health and recovery services this fall. The Stanislaus County budget is really big, but it's also really easy to get to. stancounty.com/budget. And that is shown on your screen and is also in our reports and on the county's website in order for the public to see the detail and to seek the information they should wish to have. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have 8 recommendations before you today. We ask that you accept the final budget you conduct the scheduled public hearing, that you direct and approve any changes that the board chooses to make to the recommended final budget, and then adopt the recommended final budget for 2016-17. We ask that you authorize the CEO and the auditor controller to do what they need to do to make this budget happen, to direct the chief executive officer and the auditor to prepare the final budget in accordance with state requirements, that you amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect all of the changes that we've outlined for you today and are identified in attachment B to be effective with the start of the first pay period on or after September 3rd, that you approve the contracts and agreements, all identified also in the agenda item, in cumulative amounts of $100,000 or greater as of July 1, 2014, and that you approve a total appropriation and budgetary limit for the annual appropriations of tax revenue for fiscal year 2016-17 in accordance with the provisions of Prop 4 and Prop 111 and establish a general operating limit of $359,243,292 using the population and inflation methodology that is listed in attachment E of your documents. It is our pleasure to have presented to you our final recommended budget, and our entire team is available, as well as our department heads, to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Anyone on the board have any question or comment? If not, we will open up the public hearing. Anyone in the audience having comment or concern? If not, the public hearing is closed, and bring it back to the board on deliverance of vote. Do I have a motion?
Well, some comment, maybe. Maybe we'll have some comments.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
I'm going to yield to the senior supervisor.
Senior, I'm the youngest one up here. Okay. I just want to thank staff, our budget team. What a great news budget report. Kind of nice to have a good news budget report after so many years of difficult budgets. It's great to see us starting to do or continuing to do some rebuilding of public safety, something that I think is probably the number one priority of local government. It's nice to be addressing deferred maintenance, stuff that, you know, through this recession we just put aside and said we don't have the money for it, we'll come back later. It's good to be doing that. And as good as this budget is, I think it's great that we're rebuilding reserves. Looking at the long-range model, there's some big deficits coming our way, and that's without a downturn in the economy. And I guess the senior supervisor, as I start to make my way out, will just tell this board that that's probably the hardest thing that this board ever had to do is RIFT, lay off employees, reductions in force. And build that reserve for that rainy day, because it's going to come, and it'd be great to be ready for it. As we all know, the budgets go in cycles, and so it might look great this year. Let's celebrate, let's do what we can and great things, but also keep that eye on the future. So again, great job to all of our departments, all of our department heads, and all of our employees.
Supervisor Witchell.
Well, great job, guys, once again. Stan kind of said it at the start, it begins with a budget. Everything we do kind of begins with a budget. And that foundation, it's our foundation for everything we do. All the good work that we do in this county, we can't do anything unless we have a budget to get there and see that we have the money to do that. Probably the theme here, I think, and Bill started it off, is the fear of the future. It's so great when you're riding up, just like that roller coaster, Patrice, you talk about there. But you know you're going to head back down, and that's when you start to scream. And so... so I can see, we can see that's coming, and we have to prepare for that. If you look at the that, and another thing Stan pointed out, I think stopped you when you were doing the presentation about this long range model, and when you get to this on page 8 of the presentation here, and it talks about when we get out to 19 and 20, you see $21 million, you know, deficit. That's scary, and Supervisor O'Brien talked about it. That's a scary number, and so. So all the things that we do here now as things are good is to prepare for that day when we get to that year and have to cover that deficit, have to cover that loss in our business is what it basically is for that year. And so so we do all these things now with this, as things are good right now, we do all these things. We start to replenish our savings account. As Bill said, we start to put money back into our reserves. It's just critical in order for us to be ready. And we're blessed that our predecessors did the same thing before us and were able to allow us to get through those hellacious times that we went through because they had done just that. So we've got to continue that on. I mean, our marching orders are to make sure that we're ready for the next one that's coming along. We're doing great things in this budget. We're accelerating public safety restoration by 6 months again. A good thing. I know we, when we're out there, all of us are out there and talk about how many deputies do we have out there in the streets. And all we can say is that we're, you know, it's not like we're not putting money towards this. We are. We're doing everything we can. I know Adam is doing everything he can to recruit and retain deputies. And so a priority, obviously, of this board that we continue to do. Pay down debt. I mean, just amazing the debt that we have paid down. What we've done with our debt reduction over the last few years is just amazing that any business would be so proud of to see how we've reduced our long-term debt. Very good stuff. Other things that I wanted to talk about. I guess one of the things in this budget that we're doing also is just a small thing, but a while back, we took some general fund money for the first time for public works to do some roads. First time we've ever done that, pull money out of our general fund to work on roads, and that was just to retain our ability to leverage some federal or state funds. We had to do that. But in this budget, we're replenishing, we're putting that back. We're putting that money back in the general fund. Again, just restoring money we've taken out of our piggy bank because we know the day's gonna come again. Anyway, all great things that are happening here as a part of this budget, and just very proud of the work that you guys have done here. One question that I had in we had this in our briefing. We all go through our briefings here and go through this all intensely before we get to this point. And it had to do with when I saw David White come in, had to do with the Stanislaus Alliance. And the question that I asked Keith at one point, we're putting $175,000 towards this. It's a manufacturer's employment. What is it? Yeah, sorry, Keith. I just wanted to give you some mic time here, Keith.
Thank you for that. Manufacturing Training Center.
Okay.
It's modeled after several other successful efforts, one on the West Coast in Washington State, I believe, with Boeing, an opportunity to focus on educational opportunities that will place people in employment.
Okay.
Quicker.
Perfect. And so the $175 that we're giving is just a portion of the total budget for that.
Absolutely.
And we were going to try to get the total budget of that and see how it was all going to be spent.
Yeah. I did ask about that after briefings. They're concerned about providing us numbers that aren't real.
Okay.
They do have several business interests that are participating in this as well. As soon as that budget is prepared, I will share that forward with all of you.
Okay. Perfect. That's all I need. Thank you. Okay, so just in general, great job, guys. Again, it's just been so much better from when, at least when I know I started this thing, and Vito probably a little bit ahead of me, just the downturn that we were in and how good this has been. But it's just the accountant in me, again, that goes back to we always have to prepare for the next storm, and we're doing that in this budget. We continue to do that, anyway, you guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
Anyone else on the board having comments or questions?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank the staff for this budget. The public really would not be aware of this, but there's an enormous amount of effort that goes into this budget. And the budget goes on for years. This county has always looked at the long term. And as you can see from our budget, we project for years ahead. And we have what I would say is the outstanding staff that puts this together. Now, you won't see probably a lot of questions about the budget up here because we've been so fully informed of the budget as it's progressed with our budget briefings. This budget, as you can see, goes forward to our commitment to public safety to increase that. At the same time, we have paid down debt and increased other services. You won't find too many counties that have done that. Our debt is almost completely gone now, the general fund. I think next year we should be completely out of debt. that as we rebuild the reserves and look forward to the future, which is pretty good right now, we have to be aware of a possible downturn in the economy, though we don't know if that's coming or not. But sooner or later, we're going to go the other way. So increasing the reserves is a good strategy for that. There's also, though it hasn't been brought up today, is Stan Serra's retirement board, you know, still has that's a challenge ahead because the returns last year were not very good, although they were better than CalPERS. But it's still a challenge there because we're about, I don't know, 85-86% funded right now. If we have a downturn in the economy, that's the first thing that's going to suffer is the returns on investment. And I also want to make one comment about, you know, our building projects. Patty Hill's name really should be on time and under budget, her middle name. Because we have had, even in bad economies, continued building projects that we've got through grants and other sources and not really come out of the general fund. But every project that I can think of, and there's, you know, I'm going to list them all, there's a lot of them, everyone has been on time and under budget. And that is just tremendous, especially, you know, for a government agency. If you look at the state of California and there's something like the Bay Bridge, you know, it was years behind schedule and three times the estimated cost. Everything that we do here is on time and under budget. And it's because they're a great staff, project manager, and I want to compliment you from that. I just really appreciate your efforts to getting these projects done and getting them done right and under budget. So thank you for that. You don't really get the recognition you deserve on that. This budget, you know, is a good one. It's takes care of all of our priorities, our staffing needs from all the departments, and I expect to support this today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question is, can it get any better in my 8 years, and really only Supervisor Withrow and I can commiserate this way, but it started at a bad time and it's slowly built, you know, to where we are today. Housing starts, I think we were at about 4,000 at the high for about 3 years. We're about 200, 250 now. Employees, back in 2001, too, we had 4,500 employees, and we're not even there where we were back in 2001, too. So I think that speaks to the efficiencies of what we've done over time, and I think Patricia Hill talked about our efficiencies. I will tell you the fund balance, I know I'm thinking all over the place right now, but fund balance is created by all of you. And it's not us that's creating fund balance. It's our employees coming up with innovative ideas. It's our department heads keeping positions open, controlling what they're doing. And I got to tell you, from our standpoint, we wouldn't have made it through without you. So to the employees, a big thank you, department heads. To our long-range modeling, to our senior leadership team, all the budget team that's sitting right behind them, we can't make good decisions without the information that you've given us. It's pretty spectacular. And I know we look at it 2019, 20, 20, 21. The numbers don't look so good. Things have a way of getting better just because we're going to start cutting now. We're going to start putting more reserves away, looking at those numbers. So we have ways of adjusting to it. As I look forward, I know it was just vaguely mentioned, water, huge concern of mine. We're going to have the ag report come out next month. I think we're going to see a big drop off from the year before. We've been, again, celebrating in some great years, but that trickles through the economy when 8 of our largest 10 major manufacturing employers are ag-based. We talk about tractor sales. We see that vehicles have done really well over the years. I think we're going to see a softening there. Labor negotiations, obviously, we have labor negotiations coming up next year and the year after. And then the big one that we know is here is the jail opening. Whether it's a soft opening, whether it's a hard opening, you're talking about north of $10, $15 million per year. And I think that's why we see some of those deficits ongoing. But I think we have a plan going forward. I feel really good. Reserves, you could never have enough reserves, and the reserves are going to be short-lived, apparently, you know, if we look at those numbers. but in 4 years, we were all a part of either riffing or not filling 1,000 positions here in the county. And it's no fun. I don't want to be there again. I think we, even if we see an economic downturn, I think we're much more prepared today because of our forward-looking strategy, because of our reserve levels, and because of the fact that we paid down debt so quickly. So hats off to everyone, you know, in this organization. And I start from all the way from the bottom all the way to the top. Everyone is doing their job. I feel, as our CEO talked about, I feel the community coming together. I just think things are going really good for us. That scares me too. But I feel like I haven't felt in the 8 years on this board. I have a lot of hope, not just for Stanislaus County per se, the cities themselves, but our ability to work together and do what's best for the 540,000 constituents, providing them the best service possible in a timely manner. So good things, congratulations to everyone, and I will be wholeheartedly supporting this budget.
Job well done, and thank you.
Anyone wish to make a motion?
Motion to approve all 8 staff recommendations.
Do I have a second?
I will second it.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you. We now will go to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the City of Patterson's resolution recommending that Stanislaus County provide for a real estate watchdog reward.
Referred to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a letter from the Oakdale Fire Protection District requesting modification of their audit period from an annual audit to a biennial audit.
Referred to the Auditor Controller.
This board has received a copy of the Community Services Agency Fiscal Year 2015-2016 Annual Self-Evaluation Report of the Child Care and Development Alternate Payment Program Stage 2 and 3 contracts.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received 2 worker adjustment and retraining notification letters from Silgan Containers Manufacturing regarding the temporary layoff of employees at its facilities located at Doherty Avenue in Modesto and Patterson Road in Riverbank.
Refer to the Alliance Network Workforce Development Board.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claim referred to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Does anyone on the board have a report?
I'd just like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. The last week, as I told you, the Westside Healthcare Task Force held their health summit. We had 9 teams this year, the most ever. That was 90 people to get on that scale on and off. So fortunately, the Ag Commissioner's crew there was just right on the ball, and it just went without a hitch. So there's competition between the cities of Patterson, Newman, and Gustine on this, and one of the school districts. So the way out will be October 26th in Gustine. We'll see who comes out ahead this time.
Actually, legislative, fiscal, and management report. Stan Risen?
No report this morning.
Okay. At that time, this meeting is now adjourned.
Please schedule.